and welcome to the Strange Brew Podcast. My name's Jason Barnard, and this is an extra special edition of the Strange Brew Podcast. I'll be playing a few snippets from my interview with Fairfield Parlour and Kaleidoscope man Peter Daltrey. Kaleidoscope and Fairfield Parlour made some of the most wonderful records of the late 60s and early 70s, and we'll be playing various tracks from their career alongside cover versions and a few influences. The first track that we heard on the show and enjoyed, it was Kaleidoscope's debut single, and what a song, one of the classics of the UK psych era, released on Fontana in 1967, and that was Flight from Ashir. So let's hear a little of Peter explaining the origins of that wonderful song.
Yeah, that the title was, I mean, Ed and I, were, by this time, we were really writing a hell of a lot because we were now recording and we had a, you know, an outlet for our song. So we were really pushing the boundaries. We were really trying very hard. And our system was that I used to write the words first and then pass them to Ed, and he'd come up with a tune, and then we'd knock it out together, give it to the other guys. And The Flight from Ashir was, I mean, when you're writing songs, they can begin anywhere. I mean, they can begin with a little bit of melody or just a word or an overheard phrase. Flight from Ashir was actually a novel from the late 50s or early 60s, I think. Right. And then it was also filmed. And I must, I think we had the book at home at my parents' house, and I think I just saw the title on the spine of the book, and for some reason it appealed to me, and I created this little story about a plane crash.
Peter then describes the band's early days as the Psychics and a particularly memorable gig with the group, which is a great excuse to play a classic rock song.
One of the guys I worked with was Eddie Puma, and he said to me one day, would you like to be in my band? And of course I was rather taken aback because I had no idea he was in a band for a start, and wasn't quite sure why he was asking me, although, you know, we were getting on well together. But he said, no, come and be in the band. I said, well, I can't play anything. You know, I don't know an instrument. He said, that's all right, you can be the singer. We became the Sidekicks, and we used to play youth clubs and back rooms of pubs, just doing covers of mostly Stones and other sort of R&B standards.
You supported The Who?
Yeah, at the, I think it was the Starlighter Club at the White Hart in Hendon. Yeah, that was quite an experience because they were just up and coming. I mean, I think they just had, or just about to have, I Can't Explain. Yeah, I distinctly remember going into the dressing room behind the stage, and there were all these guitar cases laid open, and each one contained the carcass of a bashed-in Rickenbacker, his neck broken and all the bits hanging off, because Townsend had just started this thing on stage where he stabbed his speaker stack with his guitars and used to smash them up. They went on and did an absolutely amazing show. I mean, it's burnt on my mind. I mean, to catch them at that time when they were up and coming and they were doing this wild, you know, we'd never seen anything like it before. I mean, it was amazing, you know. I Can't Explain. Really, really good song.
Can't explain.
I'm feeling good now, yeah, but
can't explain.
go to all these little cheap recording studios and bash out these demos, really cheap demos on cheap equipment. And that's what came out on the Kaleidoscope, the Psychic Sessions. The best one on there, actually, which still gives me a bit of a buzz, I think, is I'm Looking for a Woman, which is a really good little track. I mean, that beats along quite well.
Was Kaleidoscope, but in their guise as the Sidekicks in 1965 with the quite rare I'm Looking for a Woman. And as many bands were of that era, they were highly influenced by the Beatles. So let's hear Peter's take on the Fab Four.
Certainly the songwriting, even from the start, was remarkable. I mean, and you did have this clear distinction between McCartney and Lennon. And, you know, we tended to lean one way or the other. And I was always a Lennon fan, to be honest. I mean, his voice is outstanding on some of those early tracks.
If you had to pick one Beatles track to play that you really love on the podcast, do you know what that could be?
Certainly, I think 8 days a week is just, I think that is just a stunning, the melody and the production, the sort of ringing guitars through it, and Lennon's vocal is absolutely spot on, it's wonderful.
Now Peter explains how the band got signed by going to a music publisher and the importance of one of their early tracks, the brilliant Holidaymaker.
We played him some stuff and then we played him Holidaymaker. And he picked up the phone and we thought, oh, what's he doing? You know, we just played him a decent song. He's not even saying, he's just picking up the phone. And he said, no, just sit still. And he said to somebody down the phone, I want you to come over straight away. And then within sort of 10 minutes in walks this long, thin guy in black clothes. Turns out to be Dick Leahy, one of the up-and-coming young producers at Fontana. And the music publisher said, play him that song again, Holidaymaker. And we played it and Dick said, do you want a recording contract?
Princess gleaming on the beach, northern accent, funny speech. People call each other reach, and the tent is just out of reach. Entrance swimming expertly in a white Capricorn. Sun, curvy girls for
Was Kaleidoscope and Holiday Maker, a key track on their classic 1967 LP Tangerine Dream, and after that wonderful album they released another brilliant single, which was Jenny Artichoke. Let's hear a little bit more about this fantastic song and then a cover version by Spanish band Formula 5.
Jenny Artichoke was a single after the album, and that was another case of something that was so obviously should have been a massive hit.
Yeah, yeah. Jenny Artichoke should have been a top 10 hit. I mean, it was played to death on the radio. We actually heard people singing it in the street, you know, which is a great accolade for a songwriter to walk by and hear somebody humming it as you go by. They played it to death, you know. I mean, it was just, all right, it's a silly little song, but I mean, it's a bit of fun. It's, all right, you listen to it today, it all sounds a bit silly, but you take it back and put it in context with what was going on at the time, and I mean, it was perfect.
Because there was a Spanish cover on Philips label a few years after.
That's right. I'm surprised it wasn't covered more and was perhaps a European hit, because it, you know, it had all the hallmarks of something like that, didn't it?
Sabes muy bien que sin tu amor voy a morir, pues tan solo contigo yo soy feliz. Al ver tus labios sonreír, Jenny Artichoke, no sé qué hacer si tú no estás cerca de mí. Yo no tengo la culpa de ser así y de quererte tanto a ti. Solo es un juego, Jenny Artichoke, sabes muy bien que sin tu amor voy a morir. Yo no tengo la culpa de ser así y de quererte tanto a ti. Yeah. Quiero que comprendas, yeah, que por ti me muero. Yeah. Dime mi cielo, si tu amor por mí solo es un juego. Por mí solo es un juego. Jenny Artichoke, dime que sí, que tú también piensas en mí y que sientes lo mismo que yo por ti. Al ver tus labios sonreír, Jenny Artichoke, deja que yo conquiste al fin tu corazón, pues estoy seguro de que puedes ser conmigo siempre muy feliz. Yeah. Quiero que comprendas, yeah, que por ti me muero. Yeah. Dime mi cielo, si tu amor por mí solo es un juego. Yeah. Yeah. Dime mi cielo, si tu amor por mí solo es un juego. Jenny Artichoke, dime que sí, que tú también.
Did you say that it was influenced by Jennifer Juniper?
Well, only that I was a tremendous fan of Donovan. I still love his early stuff. You can hear little bits of his vocal delivery in some of mine, his pronunciation, and certainly his songwriting was a great influence. Jennifer Juniper, Jenny Artichoke, it was all around the same sort of ballpark. But no, ours disappeared without trace, having been played to death and everyone predicting it was going to be a massive hit. And that was a story that we would see repeated a couple more times down the line.
Juniper lives upon the hill. Juniper, sitting very still. Is she sleeping? I don't think so. Is she breathing? Yes, very low. What you doing, Juniper, my love?
Donovan and Jennifer Juniper, Donovan being a key influence on Peter Daltrey and Kaleidoscope in general, and a tiny little bit of inspiration for Jenny Artichoke, which you heard a little bit earlier, and in the guise of a Spanish cover version by the group Formula 5. Now let's hear a little bit about Kaleidoscope's second album, Faintly Blowing, and a great track on that album, Snapdragon.
Backtracking to Faintly Blowing, which is your second album.
Yeah.
I particularly like Snapdragon. What's your favourite track off that album?
Yeah, on that album, I like Tom Bits, I like Snapdragon. If You So Wish, Blackfjord, Music, of course, is fun. It's interesting that you like Snapdragon because just shooting forward a few decades, now I'm doing some live work. That is the number that I open up with on stage, and it always goes down very well. It's a good opener, Snapdragon.
Yeah.
Almond eyes and the chopsticks ticking like grasshoppers. Jasmine child in your paper house, I am trembling. Strange disguise, your white face is shining like Easter moon. It's your smiling lemon tree, the wind is whistling. Oh, gentle, Snapdragon.
There was a cover of music by an American band in the early 90s.
The band is called Cerebral Core, and they do a good job on it. It is interesting, actually, isn't it, that, you know, although you say, you know, we're highly valued now and all this business, there haven't been a lot of covers. You know, somebody said to me, well, that's because they can't better the original, but I'm still surprised that there haven't been more covers. I mean, we had a song called Bless the Executioner, which was covered by a guy called Mark Ellington. And then, Claude Francois in France did Bordeaux Rosé. The Spanish band did Jenny Artichoke. And then, as you say, Cerebral Core did music. I wouldn't mind you playing that. They do a good job on that.
The Electric. Electric midnight mist is dancing through the trees, and the organ grinder's ghost is feeling lonely. The rock and roll crusade is coming to an end, and the words that I once sung say they don't know me, or owe me anything. The pirates of our ears are smuggling the notes out to the major, minor mermaids of the sea. The captain listens to the concert of the waves as the tunes of yesterday all try to throw.
Of a kaleidoscope track from Faintly Blowing, music by Cerebral Core. Next, we hear the story of how Kaleidoscope morphed into Fairfield Parlour partly due to the inspiration of Radio 1 DJ Dave Simons. And then we hear a little bit about Fairfield Parlour's debut single, Bordeaux Rosé.
As things progressed at Fontana, it was clear that they were losing patience with us because we didn't have a hit, which quite frankly wasn't our fault. And Dave said one day, why don't you, you know, if you thought of getting away from Fontana, you know, just move on, your music is progressing, why don't you move on? And we agreed and went to see him down at his place at Hampton Court down that way, and we hatched a plan, and then Ed and I started writing much more mature songs, better lyrics, and expanded instrumentation on them, became Fairfield Parlour.
Did you say that you were on Top of the Pops?
Yeah, because as we've heard before with Jenny Artichoke, and as we'll hear again in a minute, Bordeaux Rosé was played to death on the radio, very highly rated and great predictions for it. And then we got on Top of the Pops, and if you went on Top of the Pops in those days, if you were on there, then the following week your record would go up at least 5 places up the chart, almost guaranteed, because you'd had this exposure on Britain's only pop TV program. And ours actually went down the following week, so that shows you the distribution of Vertigo, Fontana, Philips.
My glass to overflowing, make me smile with your smile. Take my hand amongst the darkness, for we have a little while. Bordeaux Rosé, take us away, make the room begin to sway. Make us forget about tomorrow, do what you will with us. Make something of today. Let us both drink to this moment that it's held forever near. Pour the wine across my face, then bring the bottle over here. Bordeaux Rosé, take us away, make the room begin to sway. Make us forget about tomorrow, do what you will with us, make something of today. We are swimming far beneath the scarlet glow, as if you didn't know. Ah, as if you didn't know. Ah.
That was Fairfield Parlour and their 1970 single Bordeaux Rosé that featured on Top of the Pops. Also this year was Fairfield Parlour's debut album. Let's hear a little bit about that LP as well as a key track.
My favourite track on Home to Home is Aries. I like the world weariness on your vocals. It's just a special track.
There are a few tracks scattered through my recording career from 67 to 2012 are autobiographical, and Aries is one of them. Whitey was a friend of mine, and we did find a motorbike, and as far as I know, I think he did die when he was riding this motorbike. Aries, a great opener for the album, and also really encompasses the mood of that album. Other people also say the same about The Drummer Boy of Shiloh. You know, you've got those two songs bracketing the album, and they're both of the same sort of mood, that, like you say, that world weariness.
Thank you. I used to collect cigarette cards, and the crab leaf was a face I knew. Spike Kasparak, he owned the pub. He had a wooden leg, all the names we used to call him. Me and my friends found a motorbike. Why did I flying through Woolly's window? Pilot boat park was our paradise. The summers with the girls, if you want to, I'll show you the scars. Hold my hand and tell me where we are. Factory wall. Spike Kasparak got 20 years. I really don't know why, but just now I can't think back that far. Hold my hand and tell me where we are. Hold my hand. Upon the wall hangs the legend, I love the Beatles, and the moss grows between the crumbling bricks, and the boys play tricks on the girls. And somewhere that I've never seen, it's still raining.
Fairfield Parlour and Aries from 1970. Now we hear the story of a special release by the band as Isle of Wight later that year.
Well, David Simons, when he became a manager, was really motivated, very energetic, and worked sort of like 20-hour days on behalf of the band. Was tremendous. And, yeah, he got us the Vertigo contract. He got us a contract for writing a TV advert. And then we did the music for the film Eyewitness. We did the theme song and the incidental music for that. And then out of the blue, he pulled the real prize out of the bag, which was an appearance at the Isle of Wight Festival, which was clearly going to be huge. Not only that, but he managed to talk the brothers Fork into, you know, allowing us to write that year's theme song, which we were contracted to write the theme song for the festival in 1970. That's what it said on the contract. So we went away and did it, and this was the third one, predicted everywhere to be absolutely gigantic. Unfortunately, when we got to the festival, Ricky Farr, I think he thought he was in charge because he had the microphone. So instead of playing it between every act, which was what was on the contract, he played it once, said, "I don't like that," and threw it into the audience. The reason being that he wasn't involved in the original negotiations for us to write it. So he, because he had inter-office political row with the Fork brothers, he took it out on us and frisbeed the single into the crowd and was never seen again. We had to come up with something that was suitable for an open-air festival in the sun, by the sea, hundreds of thousands of people listening to it and perhaps singing along. And I think what we achieved with that song was just right for that. I mean, I love it. I'm very proud of that song. That's one I can actually stand listening to still and still get some enjoyment out of it. I think it's a very accomplished song, and it's a shame that very few people have heard it.
Stepping through the hands, my eyes adjusting to the light. I
other, perfectly in company again. Nothing moves, and yet there's movement everywhere. I know it, could we all be part of something else or something part of us? And then the world washes, let it.
Kaleidoscope Fairfield Parlour in yet another guise as Isle of Wight and Let the World Wash In. Let's hear a little bit about the band's next album, White Face Lady, and followed by a great track from that LP, Epitaph Angel. The album unfortunately led to the demise of the group and was eventually released in 1991.
It's a sort of similar type story with your next album, White Face Lady. That is another really, really ambitious record. And Epitaph Angel is a beautiful track.
Well, what happened was, Jason, we were, you know, after Border Rosé, From Home to Home, The World Wash In, and then Ed and I had so many songs accumulating, and I said to Ed, you know, these songs that we're writing, there's a sort of a mood, a sort of a connection between them. And he said, well, what do you mean? And I told him what I was thinking it was, this very loose sort of idea of a story. And we said, well, why don't we link them, make more of a link between the songs, create more of a story? I'll write a book to go with it, and we'll put it out as a so-called concept album. We spoke to Dave about it, and he was actually over the moon. He thought it was absolutely a wonderful idea. And that's what Ed and I did for the next sort of 6 months. We just sat down and wrote the songs, and I wrote the story to go with them, and we had little linking bits and pieces. So we were caught. We just fell between the two rails, and we struggled to find a home for it. We went to Ireland. We went to Warner Brothers. The time for that type of album was just waning, and unfortunately it didn't find a home, and because of that we were broke and the band broke up.
With your laugh like rain that carried you away, and all of those words that you just couldn't say, and the way that you fell at the end of each day, what a shame that your bed was so empty. With your friends and your foes that stood at your hand, and your village physician that drew dreams in the sand, and the prince of pleasure who was more than a man. What a shame that not one remembers you. With your hands and birds and your fears like a glass, and the midnight rays where you always came last, and the painting you stole, 'cause you said it had class. What a shame it was all without value. With your style of life, 100 years old, and your crimson nightdress we agreed was so bold, and the heat of your kiss that alas felt so cold. What a shame your innocence was so real. With your fears of yourself that you could not disarm, our collection of children that meant you no harm,
and the way that you cried, and the way your Monroe eyes and your Madonna smile, your love for Arthur Miller that lasted but a while. If only we had seen through your biblical style. What a shame that we loved you without question. With your promise of love that hung in your eyes, and the shape of your body that you could not disguise. Lost to us now, all the charm of your lies. What a shame that you
Epitaph Angel from Kaleidoscope, recorded in about 1971 and released about 20 years later. And around this time in the early 90s, Peter Daltrey started releasing solo material as the legend of the Kaleidoscope and Fairfield Parlour story grew. Let's hear about Peter's recent solo material and a particular song that he's done with Arion, their joint cover of a Kaleidoscope number called In the Room of Percussion.
You seem more popular now than ever, and strangely, you know, over the other side of the pond in the Atlantic.
It's actually a worldwide thing. It is amazing. It's very rewarding. I love it. I mean, look, I'm an old geezer now, but I mean, it's great to think that something I did almost very nearly 50 years ago is highly regarded now. I've benefited from it because since the band broke up, I've never stopped writing and recording. I've released, I don't know, 18 albums, I think it is now. Arion is Ian Lucassen, a Dutch heavy metal guitarist. He is a genius, that guy. Mm. But he loves Kaleidoscope. You know, he's absolutely mad on Kaleidoscope. And he said to me he was doing an album called Into the Electric Castle. Mm. And would I be interested in collaborating on it, on writing the narration for it and recording it? And I said, well, yeah, of course I would. Mm. So I wrote the narration and went over to his studio in Holland and we recorded it there. And while we were there, we recorded Nature's Dance.
Yep.
And we also recorded In the Room of Percussion, which is out on my new album, King of Thieves, The Best of Peter Daltrey, Volume 2, on GRA Records.
Mountainous pictures of coloured scenes appear upon my face, and majestic smoke of scent dissolves forever in its place. The shadowy friends that line the walls all dream while laying down, while the window tapping silhouette in rain begins to drown. In the room of percussion, the discussion slides as you enter through the door. And the one-armed bandit laughs aloud and disappears once more. Foolish thoughts of ecstasy are dead, but without much concern. In the heart, my hopes by millions lay twisted as they burn. The crooked faces of clocks appear and die in nightmare dreams, while juggling music surrounds us both and turns our thoughts to screams. In the room of percussion, the discussion slides as you enter through the door. And the one-armed bandit
yet one more. My God, the spiders are everywhere. With ruby wine and our tangled nerves, our mouths flap in despair. And with tumbled words of poetry, we try to prove we care. But the glowworm light of creativeness moves out into the rain. And the joystick dies and disappears, its scent alone remains. In the room of percussion, the discussion slides as you enter through the door. And the one-off bandit laughs aloud and disappears once more. In the room of percussion, the discussion slides as you enter through the door. And the one-off bandit laughs aloud and disappears once more. My God, the spiders are everywhere.
Peter Daltrey and Arion, and In the Room of Percussion from Peter's most recent compilation album, King of Thieves, The Best of Peter Daltrey, Volume 2. Let's hear one further track from that album.
Carl Anderson, the boss at GRA Records, is compiling a tribute to Sky Saxon, the lead singer of The Seeds.
Oh, yeah.
And he asked me to do a track for it called Wild Roses, and that's on the album as well, which... it's fun because it's got my son on there on guitar and another guy I work with, Derek Head, on saxophone, which is a good track.
Wild roses, wild roses, wild roses are growing everywhere.
When I was then a very young boy, I fell in love with a beautiful queen. A cold-hearted queen, lonely suitor, closer eyes and pride, but a smile captivated me. Her eyes invited me. She was an enchantress. She captured me. But her love was cold like the ice and snow. Alone, alone, alone.
Yes, wow, that was very good. Peter Daltrey and Wild Roses. Now, before I go into our very final track of today's show, as usual, there's loads going on at the strangebrew.co.uk website. I've already published the first part of Nick Warburton's Brewer and Shipley interview. Part two will be coming soon. I've also recently interviewed Patrick Campbell Lines of Nirvana, wow, so hopefully that will be coming out on the website very shortly. Also, Dominic Pixley has uncovered the rare and true story of 60s band The Somerset, so definitely something to watch out for. Next month, this podcast will feature Mark Nevin. Mark is probably best known for his work with Fairground Attraction and Morrissey. Also, he's got loads of great solo material, but just as important as that, he's picking his favourite British rock tracks from the 60s for The Strange Brew next month. But back to the last word to Peter Daltrey, of course, who reflects on his time with the band. And let's finish up with an excellent solo track, Tambourine Days. Until next month, see you later.
we were very insular. It's strange looking. I mean, we were just four ordinary, quiet guys. We weren't musos. Like I say, we were so focused. We were absolutely focused and dedicated to Kaleidoscope and Fairfield Parlour. And that's, you know, we lived and breathed it 24 hours a day. Yeah, we were very, very close. It was a wonderful time. We were like brothers. And yeah, we just concentrated on our own road, our own track, and nothing would deviate us from it until fate conspired to thwart that journey and we had to stop and break up. You know, somebody said that my voice hasn't changed a lot in that time, and I'm still writing about the same sort of things I was writing then. I still trying to make a similar sort of music, and then, you know, and obviously hoping that the people who enjoyed that, the Fairfield Parlour certainly, and Kaleidoscope to some extent, would find a lot to like it in my sort of newer music as well. I mean, if you listen to the song Tambourine Days, it could almost, you know, almost have come from a Fairfield Parlour album. And again, it's another one of those totally autobiographical songs. Thank you, Jason.
Cheers, Peter. Thanks a lot. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
It was history repeating itself.
Were you dreaming when you told me about Annie?
Travels.